It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you who are joining us. You each have a purpose. Live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I do appreciate you joining us today. And thank you to the team that I get to work with as producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And it is Father's Day this weekend. Happy Father's Day to you, producer Steve.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Are you going to be heading out to the Beer Brats and Blades out at Castlegate Knife and Tool in Sedalia?
Well, I already got a green light. The better half is kind of intrigued by it. So, yeah, we'll be there.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to try to make it as well. That's from 11 to 3 at Castlegate Knife and Tool out in Sedalia. And that is tomorrow, which is they're calling it Dad's Appreciation Day, the day before Father's Day. So wishing you a very, very nice Father's Day. And I thank each and every one of you. And to each of you fathers out there, I wish you a very happy Father's Day as well. It is a very, very important job. And one to take very seriously. So congratulations to each and every one of you. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests. I always have a great show, a great lineup each week, so you'll know what's coming up. And you can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air, as we are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's their rights, their property, their freedom or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation. That's one that we're going to really be talking about over the next year for sure. Fear, coercion, or the new one, and that is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And our quote for today, I think, is very interesting, and we can segue into a discussion on it. It's from Harry Truman. He was born in 1884, died in 1972. He was the 30th president of the United States, serving from 1945 to 1953. He was succeeded into the presidency upon the death of FDR after serving as the 34th vice president in early 1945. He implemented the Marshall Plan to rebuild the economy of Western Europe and established the Truman Doctrine and NATO to contain communist expansion. He was also the one that made the decision to drop the atomic bombs. And this is what he said. When the liberals said they were going to create a million new jobs, I didn't think they were going to be tax collectors. If you can't convince them, confuse them. Steve, in this quote, I find a couple of things very interesting. First of all, he's a Democrat, but he was referring to the liberals. Now, when you say liberal, you think Democrat. So when we talk about this hijacking of the Democrat Party, it was first hijacked by liberals, but now what we see is it's actually been hijacked by socialist Marxists who really want control over, they look at us as the masses and them as the elites, and they really want control over that. So you can see even in that language, I found it interesting that he looked at the liberals as something totally different than a Democrat.
Well, it's a slippery slope. Yeah, I mean, look at that distinction right there. And how many years later, so what, 70 years later, and now they seem to be one and the same. Actually worse. I mean, you bring in the socialistic aspect of it, it's even worse.
You know, and it's really, really about power. And people talk about greed, and they many times think money. But I think that the thing that people are even greedier for, if you will, and that is power. And socialism and communism, and they're so closely entwined. Socialism is not about free stuff. That is the carrot that they use to get people to vote for it. And think about it. I mean, we have to think about our own character. It's human nature to want to get something for free. However, there is nothing for free. Somebody has to create something. And if a person gets something for free, well, they're taking from somebody else's labor to do that. And I always go back to Senator Elizabeth Warren when she talks about free college. And she's a professor. And she actually maybe fudged a bit on her heritage to get that professorship, which is a different subject. But once again, you have these rules that pick winners and losers, not on the basis of their meritocracy and their hard work and striving for excellence, but on a descriptor. And so right there, there's a problem on picking winners and losers. But regardless, she got this professorship at Harvard, and I think her salary was well over $400,000 a year. If she was really all about free college, shouldn't she be working for free, Steve?
Well, it gets worse. I'm not even sure that was a full year. I think that was like a semester. But I'd have to go back and
sign
research.
Sign me up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd have to go back and verify that. But the whole thing just smells to high heaven.
Well, it does. And I thought a couple of things, and I'd seen this, and I think it's important for people to understand that Biden is requesting another $80 billion for the IRS to enhance tax enforcement, which goes back to this Harry Truman quote, and to do more tax enforcement. What happens is and they do this under the guise that they're going to want the wealthy and corporations to pay more. But ultimately, once you start to constrict tax people on their creativity, their innovation, their risk taking, then you'll see productivity can move offshore. It can change. People say, well, if I work this extra hour, but at 70 cents of that dollar, whatever it is, under this progressive tax policies that they're going to be working on, 70% is taxed and I don't get any benefit from that. You start to see sometimes people make different choices on, am I going to work that extra hour or am I not? Variety of things. But here Truman was talking about it back then. The IRS, back in the Declaration of Independence, they talked about King George sending swarms of his swarms of the British to come in and take people's, the colonists' hard work and their productivity and taxes. So it's nothing new. But actually, the idea of America, limited government, where people can keep most of the fruits of their labor, what happens is the economy grows, the pie gets bigger, so more people are paying a lesser percentage, but the government actually is taking in more revenue. So when we talk about these issues, this is not about Biden, the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice administration trying to increase the economy. It is all about power. And that is the thing. I talk to so many people when we look at these very bad decisions, and they're like, well, why would they do that? And basically, I'm coming down to the conclusion that it's because of power, Steve.
There's no doubt. Whether it's the World Economic Forum and the things that they're advocating, it's just there's very little being done here in support of the working middle class people. It's actually going the wrong direction.
It is, and that's because it is all about power. The World Economic Forum, one of their visions for 2030, it's right there, they've said it, is that no one will own anything. And they say you'll be happy about it as well. But somebody will own the property, right? And if everyday people don't own it, who does? It's the elites. So it's once again about power. And the idea of the American idea, which falls under the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that is that you pursue your dreams. And we may not have equal outcomes because we some people will work harder. Some people actually, well, Jefferson said the harder you work, the luckier you get. But life does throw people curveballs. So there's no way to have equity in all of that. But if you can have equality in this right to pursue your happiness, what you get is America with this big, broad middle class, everyday people pursuing their hopes and dreams, a vibrant economy, and the policies that we are seeing. And it's such a stark comparison to the Trump administration, which that was one of the things you wanted to mention, Steve, was the stark comparison of what is happening down at the border under Trump and what we saw prior to Trump with the Obama administration, and now what we are seeing with the Harris-Biden-Obama-Rice administration, two very stark differences. And I think before Trump took office, a lot of these very, very onerous things that were happening to people were kind of like, well, I'm not sure if we can do anything about it. Trump comes in, changes those policies, and people start to thrive and flourish. We get the border under control. Biden comes in, first day they're working to walk all of this back. The Middle East is in disarray. Where Trump, the conflicts were really subsiding in the Middle East. And Biden comes in, and look what's going on there. The border was under control. Biden comes in, look what's happening there. But what you find, tell our listeners what you find intriguing about this whole race to the border now.
Well, it's been determined that on June 30th, at an invitation from the Texas governor, Trump and the governor are going to go to the border. Now, it's been 86 days, I guess today is the 86th day, since Kamala Harris was given the oversight of the border problem. She has yet to show up there, and she doesn't seem to have, you know, much of an interest in being there. And to me, if Trump beats her, or and I can't help thinking the administration must be freaking out right now because they've got to see the writing on the wall. If Trump gets there before either Biden or Harris, and they've got how many days? You know, it's what, 12 days to do something about this? It'll be the political blunder of the last 100 years. They're going to hand much political capital over to anybody who opposes them by letting this happen. And let's just watch and see what goes down in the next 12 days.
You know, Steve, even though the mainstream media is not covering what is really going on out there, eventually the truth comes out. And that is why our voice is important. All of these voices out there across America that are searching for truth and clarity to help you get your brains around these issues so that when you talk with your friends and your family and your colleagues, that you can have a conversation. There is always going to be that percentage that will not accept that do not have any intellectual curiosity. But there is a big, broad swath of people that do. And don't get frustrated by those that do not have intellectual curiosity within your sphere of influence, whether it's your family or whatever. Continue to have calm conversations where you can, but realize that there is a bunch of people out there that are concerned and are watching. And if you speak truth into that, we will continue to see the truth emerge from that. And that is a very important way that we are going to save America, because America is under assault. I was at Cooper's Troopers yesterday for their luncheon, and General Arbuckle, and I want to get him on the show, spoke about a number of, they call them, you probably know this, flags. That's your admirals and your generals that have come out, and they have a plan for us to basically save America, because many of the guys talked about it. They took an oath on the Constitution to protect America from our enemies from without and within. And right now we have a lot of enemies within the media. The education system is where it really started, and that affects culture for sure. But also there are many bureaucrats and politicians that their policies show that they don't really like America and the American idea. And so we have this big battle of ideas that we're engaged in right now, Steve. And it is up to each and every one of us to step up and engage. And that's why we do the show, is to try to help you to be able to do that. And it is truly a great honor, which this is a great segue into my other show, which is America's Veteran Stories. And it airs on broadcasts on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. on Sundays. And our guest this week is Gary Houseman. And he's a Vietnam veteran. He grew up in Loveland, Colorado. And he was actually wounded in an ambush. It is a fascinating story. And it's so interesting. Mary, who was at Cooper's Troopers yesterday, she came up and she said, the work that we're doing, Steve, with this America's Veteran Stories, that fit, that years from now, people will say that this is a national treasure. I'm paraphrasing what I think I heard her say. And I hadn't really thought about it. I just feel it's an honor that we get to do this particular work to bring these stories to life. And it kind of took my breath away. And it's not me. It is these stories that are so important, Steve.
It is, because you, especially when we talk to the Vietnam era vets, there's such a distinction between World War II and Vietnam in terms of the mission and our motivations and all those types of things. And these guys got caught in the middle of it. It's just a sad thing. And that's why hearing these stories, it's a necessary thing for anybody who loves the country.
It really is. So that is on this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. Let's go to break. When we come back, we have some headlines to talk about. Hal Van Herke, who is small business owner, sponsor of the show, and also owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, will be talking with him about kind of what's on his radar. I always find those conversations interesting with Hal. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with some headlines.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Want to go through some headlines. First and foremost, my friends, if we do not have election integrity, we do not have a country. And one of the things that we learned from this last election, with all that happened on election night, and we will call them irregularities at this particular point in time, but what it has shown light on is potential big vulnerabilities to our election system. And if you go to my website and take a listen to this last Monday show, and it was the last half of the show with retired Air Force Colonel Sean Smith. He talks about potential election irregularities, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I think that each and every one of us have to be assured that we have election integrity in our country. And yesterday, the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, did something that I'm not even sure she has the power to do. And that is, she used an emergency authorization, so probably taking lessons from Governor Polis with his over 400 executive orders. Now, and my friends, again, remember when we were talking about freedom versus force and we were talking about power? This is what you're seeing here. Anyway, this is a press release. It said the Colorado Secretary of State's office today, it was yesterday, adopted emergency election rules prohibiting third parties from accessing voting equipment in the state of Colorado. Now, let's put this on top of what Sean Smith was talking about the other day, is that there's several different ways that there can be irregularities or vulnerabilities. And we're trying to check all of those out with the mail-in ballots, make sure those are all valid. But another thing is with the voting machines, is to go in and do, and this is layman terms, but a forensic audit and see if there was anything that might have been attached to the internet, just a variety of things like that. Those questions need to be answered. And my understanding is Griswold has a calendar right now where they're going to the different county clerks and they are updating the, I want to say the updating the software, but it's like when you go from one version of an operating program to another. And in essence, that could be getting rid of the ability to see what happened during this last election. Again, my understanding by federal law is they're not supposed to do that for 25 months. And here we're, 7 months after the election, they're going to do that. So somebody, you have to ask why. And so we have what's going on down in Maricopa County. And I'm wondering if she's looking at that. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if there's a there there, because they're starting to act like there's a there there. And if there is no there there, then why are they doing that? Does that make sense, Steve?
You remind me of Bill Clinton when he came out and says, it depends on what the definition of is.
Yes.
But you're right. She sees what's going on, and not just Arizona. There's things popping all over the country, whether it's audits or court decisions, a judge ruling on something. And again, the mainstream media won't touch it, but it's happening all over. And this mm-hmm. has to be her motivation. What gets me, and you haven't got to it yet, is the verbiage that she uses here, if you want to move on to that. She is definitely, there's a why, what did Yogi Berra say? If there's a, when you come to a why in the road, take it. Well, she's at the why in the road, and she's definitely going down the wrong path. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So this is what she said. She said, along those lines, no third party person or vendor will be permitted access to voting equipment in our state. We will not risk the state's election security nor perpetuate the big lie. Sham audits have no place in Colorado. The new and amended rules, which have been implemented immediately, reinforce who can access state-certified voting systems. And quite frankly, it seems that her job would be to make sure that we check to have election integrity. And many times you bring in a third party so that you can actually know that she has all kinds of vested interest in not pursuing this if, in fact, there was some there. And so if she was really doing her job, she would want to make sure that she assures the people of Colorado that there were no shenanigans going on here in Colorado.
Thus,
I'm not sure this is constitutional.
Yeah, thus the why in the road. She could, obviously it has to be in a controlled environment, and she could go that route, and when she's at the end of that road, come back and say, hey, look, we got a clean bill of health. But that's not what she's doing here.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. There were just a couple of other things that happened yesterday, and that was with the Supreme Court. And the first thing is they basically dodged this whole question on Obamacare, on whether or not it was constitutional, saying that the states that brought the lawsuit did not have standing. I'm really frustrated about it. It's like, come on, step up to the plate and make a decision on it. But the other one they did make a decision on, and that was that they ruled that foster agencies can deny certification to same-sex couples on religious grounds. And this comes from a case that was, I was thinking it was in Washington. No, it was Philadelphia, where Catholic Social Services sued the city after they were being ordered that they could not exclude same-sex couples from certification. But yet the Catholic faith affirms that marriage is between a man and a woman. So this was a really big deal on that particular ruling. I would really like them to step up and have guts. Yes.
The outcome of that ruling, but was the count? It was unanimous. How often does that happen?
Okay, I was thinking that was 7-2 and the other one.
No,
it was 7-2. This was unanimous.
9-0.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And it was 7-2 then on the standing thing. So, hey, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to have a great conversation with Hal Van Herky. You will not want to miss it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get to first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. In studio with me right now is one of my very valued partners. All my partners are very valued. But Hal Van Herkey, he is an entrepreneur, a small business owner. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is one of your businesses. It's located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And you have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And tomorrow is going to be a really fun day. It's Dad Appreciation Day.
Yeah, Dad Appreciation Day, one day before Father's Day. So you can come out to our store in Sedalia, and we're offering, you have to let us know on the on Facebook ahead of time or on our website, but we're offering up free beers, free brats, free burgers, and a chance to look at a bunch of awesome blades, just to appreciate dads for all they do and to give our customers a shout out and a thank you for the great year that we've had in the last 12 months.
Okay. And you said you'd really appreciate people letting you know via Facebook so you can kind of gauge food?
Yeah, we have a Facebook event out there. So if you could go out, let us know if you're coming by, we can gauge food. That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. And so this is on Saturday, which is the 19th. What's the time?
I think it's
11 to 3.
11 to 3? Yeah.
I knew that. That was a gotcha question, huh?
11 to 3. I'm looking at Brown, and everybody else in the room knows it's 11 to 3 but me. Okay.
Okay, now you know. So you'll be there. Well, Hal Van Herkey, there is so much going on out there. What's on your mind?
What's in my mind? I guess one of the things that's on my mind is we've gotten to the point now with the G7 summit and all the Biden gaffes lately that the mainstream media has gotten to the point that they just accept the fact that Biden's being handled by somebody. I mean, he's walking around with note cards, flash cards, little bullet points he's supposed to stick to. He rarely does a press conference, and when he does do a press conference, he's only taking questions from four or five pre-selected reporters, and they already know what questions they're going to ask. And the media just seems to be perfectly okay with that.
Can you believe it? I just can't even believe it.
Could you imagine if that was Trump doing that or any other Republican president doing that? But it just blows me away that the media has now accepted the fact that Joe Biden is just a puppet president, that he's being handled by somebody. And I'm just wondering why they're not asking the question, who's handling the handlers? If his staff is, teeing up every word he says,
Who's giving the
words to the staff?
Yes.
Yeah. So who's behind the scenes handling the handlers that we all agree are handling Joe? So that's been on my mind a lot lately, honestly, because we joke about it. Is it Schumer and Pelosi? Is it members of Obama's former staff? Is it Obama himself? Who is it? Well, we don't have any idea. Who is setting the agenda for the United States of America today? Behind the scenes that was never elected, and who, and what's their agenda? It's crazy.
Well, it is crazy, and it's so remarkable because the Vice President, Kamala Harris, couldn't even get through the Democrat primary. And here she is, in line for the presidency. Yeah. And I now am calling it the Harris-Biden-Obama-Rice administration.
I wonder if it's Susan Rice. But it's clearly not Kamala Harris either, which is what one of the candidates for this, the backroom leader of the free world was. But the way she performed in her most recent Latin American trip and the way she was able to, articulate herself impromptu and in meetings and stuff was very clear. It's not her. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's, quote, supposed to say or not supposed to say. It was very obvious. She's never struck me as somebody who's overly bright to begin with. Joe and Kamala are great, partners that way. Mm-hmm. Two people with empty heads that you can fill with whatever you want.
Don't sugarcoat it. What do you really think about
that? Hey, you know, I don't get a chance to say what I really think very much.
I want to bring up Kamala and this trip down to Central America, where she basically has said, hey, we'll give you money. We want to, and asking or suggesting that American manufacturers move manufacturing to those countries. And I think we've talked about this, but because of public policy, what has happened is labor has gotten so expensive here in America. And of course, we saw this with this last legislative session here in Colorado, all these things that have gone through.
611 attempted bills in one session. Yeah.
And so they've made labor so expensive, it makes it very difficult for people to hire people. Yeah. And but yet we've seen people wanting to come to America. But now she's down there talking about shoring up their businesses. And, well, we're decimating our businesses here. What's your thoughts, Hal?
Yeah, I think it's part of the global reset. I mean, the Biden administration is clearly part of, on board with the agenda from the World Economic Forum about leveling the playing field economically around the
which
world.
Which is a race to the bottom for
it's
everybody.
It's a race to the bottom
except for the
everybody.
Elites.
No borders. Infinite competition for labor from around the globe, so it goes straight to the bottom. Transfer of wealth from the first world to third world countries. They agreed on that again at a mechanism on that at G7. You know, what always baffles me is that, I mean, the Build Back Better Biden slogan came directly from the World Economic Forum. That's the Great Reset motto. It's a globalist Marxist. You will own nothing in the future, and you'll like and you'll love it. You'll be happy.
And we've talked about
except for them. They'll own everything. The rest of us will, around the globe, will literally own nothing, and you'll be happy.
And, you know, that seemed like voodoo talk.
Yeah,
really.
You'll be happy because we're going to tell you to be happy.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you go to the World Economic Forum website, that is their goal for 2030,
right,
is that no one will own anything. Property rights, though, however, are inherent in the American idea. And we've been, when I've had Karen Levine on, a realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, we've talked about private property rights. And the founders realized that property and liberty, they're so closely entwined.
Yeah, you can't really have liberty, true liberty, without owning property, or at least having the chance to own property, and that's in the form of either land or other types of property like your car, etc. And when they say you're going to own nothing and be happy, and that's why I can call it a Marxist plan, because that's Marxism, that you, the only thing that's owned, everything's owned by the state, including your family and your rights and everything else.
We see that with the kind of the continued assault on taking our children.
Right. Traditional families are a barrier to Marxism. Property rights are a barrier to Marxism. A middle class is a barrier to Marxism. A thriving small business community is a barrier to Marxism. Borders are a barrier to global Marxism. And what are they attacking?
All those things.
Along with an abundant attack on any conservative industry that might still have enough money to oppose them. You know, we have hacking attacks on the oil and gas industry. We have hacking attacks on our utility companies, which are typically conservative, meat packing and meat processing companies. All three very conservative industries are the ones that get hacked by quote unquote global actors.
Well, so. And all those things, Hal, are things that everyday people, it makes their lives better. Fossil fuels, being able to cool your home right now when we are having this heat wave, or heat your home in the winter, having gas so that you can go where you want to, when you want to. And I heard some people said that they went to a gas station right here in the metro area the other day, and they were out of two of the different grades of fuel. And this is government induced.
Yeah.
The fact that when Biden took office, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, canceling all those jobs. The construction company that was doing that just finally said that they're giving up on that. And then, of course,
what about all of our offshore drilling? We've gone back and forth for decades on this, and it was green lighted under Trump. I'm sure it's been non-green lighted under Biden at this point. So that was one.
The Arctic
Keystone,
refuge.
Keystone was future. But some of the offshore rigs have probably been shuttered. I'm almost guaranteeing it. And that was current pipeline capability or oil and gas capability, the Arctic Refuge. A lot of, you know, like what's going on here in Colorado, just a redefinition on a daily basis of where you can drill, where you can't drill. the regulations you have to put on oil and gas drilling, which again, just like you talked about with American labor, that drives up the cost of American oil. So in 6 months, we've gone from being an oil exporting country to an oil importing country again.
Under the Trump administration, it was the first time that we were energy independent. Think about what that is from a geopolitical standpoint, too, Hal.
Very big deal. And again, not, you know, all part of the program. Somebody said to me the other day, I just can't understand what's going on. And they were sincere. It's like just the decisions they're making in D.C. make no sense at all. They're just like they're making the craziest decisions one after the other. And I said, well, if you look at it from the standpoint of a large globalist agenda, and I'm not using that in terms of some conspiracy theory idea, just go and read what they said at the World Economic Forum and what they've printed in books and what their mottos are and what they continued that at the most recent G7 summit. Look at what they want to do and what they say very clearly in writing that they want to do, and take the worst case scenario of that with ill intent, and then all of these guys in Washington, D.C.'s decisions make perfect sense. And you can predict what they're going to do next. It's whatever it takes to destroy the U.S.
And what that does is it hurts everyday hardworking Americans, Coloradans, and it will be a race to the bottom. And what they envision is the Marxist idea, the elites and then the masses. And in fact, we've heard some of these people that are in office now refer to us as the masses. We're not masses. Yeah. We're Americans. We're individuals.
Yeah, individuals. That's always what the U.S. has stood for and Western culture has stood for. To me, is the fact that you get a chance to be an individual, have individual freedom, individual rights, individual soul, if you believe in God, etc. And that's where all of this concept comes from. We're all individual spirits, and you're here on earth to live your fullest life, your best life, to chart your own course, and through this diversity of experience, make the world a better place.
And to that point, with the you will own nothing and government will be in charge of everything. And some people, they're like, oh, free stuff, that would be great. Socialism is not about free stuff. That's the carrot that gets people to vote for people that put that in. But ultimately, when it gets to a point where you don't take these risks, you're not an individual, there is a difference, Hal, between living and existing.
Right.
And we're human beings made to live.
Right. I think that... I wish I had statistics in front of me on this, but probably the most concerning thing of everything we've talked about so far today is the global competition for labor. And this is what the average person who in the U.S. who has to work for a living should be the most alarmed about, because we all know what, you know, we hear stories about what the cost of labor is in China or India or Africa or in parts of Latin America, where it's very, very low, where somebody's making in a month what we make in a day. Without borders and with a global economy, then you have a global market for labor, especially with increased automation, increased distribution of manufacturing plants, you know, in other parts of the world. What goes down is your ability to earn a substantial wage here in the U.S. You're going to find that, you know, water flows to the lowest point, and all of those wages are going to flow like water to all the little ponds and recesses around the globe, and your salary is going to go right down the drain with it. And that's should be very alarming, because that's going to put you about at the scale of what they're attempting to do, which is a global minimum living wage or minimum sustainable wage. And the idea is to put you on just enough money that you don't starve. And the government and global elites, a cabal of global corporations and global governments own everything else, and they dictate what you get and what you don't get. Those same groups also own all the artificial intelligence in the world. They all own all the cloud computing in the world, all the research and development, all the robotics. So they're perfectly capable of making you 100% obsolete.
Scary stuff, Hal Van Herky.
Yeah, it was a gloomy discussion, but you asked me what was on my mind, I guess. So that's.
But there is still hope, too. So so let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about the positives, because we are Americans.
Right.
And there is something really unique about that. So we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. In studio with me is Hal Van Herky. He is the owner of that family-owned business in Sedalia, Colorado, Castlegate Knife and Tool. And tomorrow from 11 to 3 is Beer Brats and Blades. So go to their Facebook page. They've got an invite there. And just let them know that you're coming. It's one of those times you actually get a free lunch, huh?
That's right. There is such thing as a free lunch.
Actually,
one day only.
One day only. Debt Appreciation Day. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
American's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do this. And Hal, at the beginning of the show, I always talk about this freedom versus force issue. And again, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. But it used to be in the old days that they would use force. It would be a weapon. You know, they'd ride in and they'd take the women and children and all the stuff. And we're past that, at least right now in America. But it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, and I'm now adding in a couple others, and that is coercion, yep, which we saw big time, and we're seeing big time right now. And then the last is government-induced inflation.
Right.
And so we talked
about
that.
You mentioned, I think you called it the...
The silent thief.
The silent thief. I think that should take a phrase from the Bible and say that inflation will come for you like a thief in the night.
Yeah.
You know, and it does just quietly 24/7 steal everything you own, one little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. What was worth something that, you know, yesterday is worth less today. And when you go back to buy that new car, you're not going to have enough money for it. When you go back to buy that upgrade home, you're not going to have enough money for it. You know, your wages aren't keeping up with inflation. So every paycheck is smaller than the one you took before.
Well, and that recently, now I can't remember which guest it was that we talked with, but we were talking about stagflation.
Yep.
And that's what you're describing. Now, there's that good kind of inflation when the economy is really humming along, people are making more money, and there's supply, there's demand for product, and so product goes up, but people are thriving and prospering. Stagflation is one of those things that really is really frustrating for people, that they're working hard, but their dollars are not keeping up with the prices. But we promised that we would talk about something positive, because I think one of the positive things is we see it. And everyday hardworking people are seeing it as well. We realize elections have consequences. And so I think that this is it's a remarkable time in our history right now. And we as Americans have to step up and be Americans.
Right. I think in the last segment, I kind of articulated my worst case scenario for global doom and gloom. It's, you know, that the dark forces of global Marxism aligning with large corporations and large governments to eradicate individual freedom around the globe. And that's kind of the worst case scenario. So, you know, how do we fight that, right? I mean, it seems to me that what I just said has gone from being conceptual to conspiratorial to just white out in the open right now, which is, you know, I don't feel odd talking about that because it's published everywhere in our mainstream media, et cetera.
But a year ago, people would have looked at us and said,
"We're crazy."
Crazy.
Yep. Get your Q hat on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that so it's there. That's what it is. So how do we fix it? Right. I think
And just, I want to make a comment, because as you were saying that, I realized that, you know, with all these Vietnam veterans that I have interviewed, Vietnam was very difficult because you didn't know who your enemy was.
Right.
And that's been kind of what it's been like as I've looked at these different policies. And this is a long time in coming. This isn't just yesterday.
It's a slow march through our institutions.
It is. But now we see it.
Right.
And so that, I think, is positive.
Right. At least helpful, anyway, because we can see who the enemy is. And, you know, the enemy of freedom, right? And so, and I don't think we solved this overnight either. It's not like there's a magic pill you can take or you can order from Alex Jones or something and it's going to automatically make you free again. All right? You got to work for it. You know, our founding fathers, you know, sacrificed everything. They sacrificed their lives. They sacrificed their livelihoods. They were chased down, imprisoned, et cetera. You know, the price of freedom is not necessarily inexpensive at times, but fortunately we're not at that point yet. But you have to make a decision every morning that you're going to wake up and you're going to live your life free, and you're going to encourage other people to do the same, and you have to teach people how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that means, first of all, not buying into their agenda, not allowing yourself to become embarrassed or ashamed or gaslighted or just beaten down morally or morale-wise because you believe in freedom, because you believe in capitalism, because you believe in Western values. You just need to wake up every morning, take a deep breath and say, no, those things has gotten society to where we are today on a positive note. It's all the innovation. We've raised billions of people around the world out of poverty, et cetera, you know, through our ideals and our ideas and our hard work ethic, et cetera. So the first thing is you got to wake up every morning and keep the faith, you know, and then lead the faith and lead by example. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'm increasingly doing, and I try to do it in a positive way, but if somebody says something that seems like they're just sleepwalking right into this, I may reach out to them even if I don't know them and try to challenge them on their thinking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I try to do it in a way that's not confrontational or kind of sneak into it with them so that I don't want to just freak somebody out that, you know, mentions something about being excited about getting another stimulus check or was excited about maybe getting cradle to grave child care. Kind of thing about what that implies on the other side, right?
Yes.
And so to get people to think, we can challenge people to think in our daily lives a little bit more, get them to value freedom, really celebrate like crazy the holidays that we have on our calendar that embrace freedom. Like we had Flag Day recently. We have the 4th of July coming up. Don't let them take that away from you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be shy about putting American flags out in your lawn. You know, these are basic things about just getting your mindset and keeping your mindset back where it belongs. And then I think that we've got to get to the point where we're investing time and money in educating our youth to value freedom again, to understand what freedom means, because everybody just assumes that we have freedom now. We've had it for so long. Nobody remembers what it's like to live under a regime where you don't have your freedom. You don't have freedom and you're not even recognized as an individual, and being an individual doesn't matter. And so we got to learn what freedom is again, the value of freedom, how you keep freedom, how you lose freedom, and the importance of freedom. And I think we need to start teaching that to our youth, to our children first and foremost. I think we need to sponsor programs that get that message back into our kids' groups, like scouts, et cetera, whatever, church groups, starting there, but then also back into schools. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always say, this is not an easy one, but I say, get your kids out of public schools. I mean, for the love of God, get your kids out of public schools. The public schools are the indoctrination arm of all of this. The public schools are run by the two largest national teachers unions, which are two of the five largest left-wing lobbying groups in the country. And they are the indoctrination arm, along with our college universities, for getting everybody to buy into this. So if you have the means, homeschool, find an alternative school. There's tons of amazing alternative schools out there. It takes a financial sacrifice, and some people aren't in a position to do that. But if you are, make the sacrifice, give up the extra car or the vacation home that you're dreaming about, and dream about giving your kids an education where they can think for themselves instead of being robots. And that's probably the best money you could ever spend.
And to that point, we actually do have a recipe for how to get out of this. And we saw this under the Trump administration. And there were people that said that they couldn't vote for him because they didn't like what he said. But when you look at the results of what had happened, everyday people had $10,000 more in their pocket.
Right.
So they had more money instead of the silent thief of inflation. Trump, many people don't know that he was actually nominated 3 or 4 times for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right.
We look at what's going on right now over in the Middle East, and it is very unstable.
Right.
At this particular point in time. But I wanted to mention or go to something that you mentioned, and that is this cradle to grave, this preschool child care.
Education, yeah, and support.
And it sounds attractive to people because they are making it so expensive to have children. So you have the mother and father many times. They're both working. And childcare is so expensive. Again, a lot of it's because of rules and regulations.
Right.
That then people look at this and they say, oh, government free childcare or preschool, that sounds good. But then once they get your kids,
yeah,
we're in a world of hurt.
And you need to go back and read, and I guess we need to do a better job of making these parts of history available to people. But go back and read, we're in Communist Russia, they very clearly said that your children are not your children. They are the children of the state. They're they're wards of the state. They're assets of the state. We'll decide what your children learn. We'll decide what your children do with their lives. We'll give them the education and the vocational training we decide that they'll have. You don't get to pick what you grow up to be when you grow up in Russia. You didn't, right? And so if they thought you were a talented gymnast, you got to be a talented gymnast. If they thought you were going to work really well in a coal mine, you worked in a coal mine.
But if you were a talented gymnast and they didn't think you were, you ended up in the coal mine.
That's right.
But in America,
or if you're a late bloomer, you just end up in the coal
mine.
Yeah, or wherever else, you know. And that's so. And they would, and they had very open. Again, we're talking about when the mask comes off. They had very open discussions and public policies and articles in their newspapers and part of their education of their citizenry. No, they're not your kids. Yeah. They're our kids.
And we're seeing that right now.
I think that's one way to get a hold of people in the United States a little bit. A lot of us don't care about politics anymore. And there's that phrase that even if you don't like or if you don't care in politics, politics cares about you.
Right.
And that, you know, politics never sleeps, just like everything else we're talking about. But I think most people in the United States still care about their kids.
They do.
So I'm kind of increasingly pointing to that little dark, ugly secret of Marxism, that if there is no property and you all are property of the state, that includes your children.
Yeah.
Right? So, and their future.
And to that point, education is so important. And we have seen, again, the left has taken over curriculum. And our kids are falling behind. And when you say to parents, our kids are falling behind, and I challenge people to do a web search of the Saline County, Kansas 8th grade exam. It is remarkable. When they said they had an 8th grade education back then, I bet there are PhDs that can't answer these questions.
Right.
And so we have to say, we're spending so much on education, and our kids are in school for X amount of hours a day. How is it that we're falling behind? I would submit to you, instead of learning reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, they're learning critical race theory, sexualization of our kids. So maybe we might want to take our temperature on this and say, we need to make sure that this isn't happening anymore.
And I guess an easier step for most people than getting their kids out of public school, which the whole system has been rigged over generations to make that your only alternative, your only cost-effective alternative, at a minimum, get immediately involved in your kids' public schools. Find out what they're being taught in class. Look at what their homework is. Ask them what they're being taught in school. Go to the school board meetings. Go to the parents, the PTA meetings. Mm-hmm. If you don't agree with what the school board's doing, get in their face at the meetings. And that's happening all over the United States right now, and the school boards are trying to hide as much as possible, scheduling their public comments to start at 11:30 at night on a weekday and things like that.
You
happening
have kids,
everywhere.
That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it on purpose. I mean, but I would not, if I was on one of these leftist school boards, I wouldn't want to have to try to explain myself right now to parents. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got problems in this state where we were talking offline where partly because of Douglas County being the first county to ever in the United States to authorize school vouchers. That's a long story in and of itself.
It is.
But the unions made sure that that disappeared permanently. And so, and then now with our having a 100% leftist stack from the state house, state senate, governor, all the way up through the federal government, with the elections coming up now for the school board, the two national teachers unions, who I see as two of the biggest villains in this, and people need to learn more about them, are going to pump enormous amounts of money into our school board elections behind the scenes. The freedom-loving candidates are going to be funded by parents who actually care about their kids and their kids' education, and they're going to be giving them dollars and $5 bills and putting money in cookie jars and stuff like that. And the leftist candidates that are hiding behind the non-party banner of a nonpartisan election are going to be having donations of $10,000, $20,000, right. $40,000. This is exactly what happened in Douglas County. Douglas County is a very conservative state, but we have an county, but we have an overwhelmingly leftist school board because they came in and when nobody was prepared for it, bought that board from top to bottom, you know, and made sure that there was no question who was going to win. And they used the teachers as their army of minion to go out and preach to everybody that this is for the children, you know, it's for the children.
So, and now we're realizing it's not so much. We probably should do a show on that because
a lot of teachers are waking up.
Yeah, they are.
They're not entirely just buying word for word what their unions tell them.
Right. Yeah. And the teachers and the teachers unions many times are two different things. So I think we've got the makings for another show.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You could get me talking about teachers unions.
We'll
do a specialty on that one.
Yeah, I think let's do it. Hal Van Herky, thank you so much for your sponsorship of both of the shows of America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson and The Kim Munson Show. And good luck on your event tomorrow.
Thank you.
Beer, brats, and blades, and make your reservation at their Facebook page. So thanks so much, Hal Van Herky.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Harry Truman. He said, America was not built on fear. America was built on courage, on imagination, and an unbeatable determination to do the job at hand. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.